It's KX93.5, it's Laguna's Only FM. Got a right pair of losers in here now.
That's right.
Honestly, I don't know. We got TVs.
They're both
Jason
filming
Moore.
You. As well.
Yeah, freaking you out.
Yeah, well, that's the sign of the loser, isn't it? Filming every ounce of their life. Jason, TV's Jason Wallace here, and Wesley Gear from the band Korn is here. And why are you here, gentlemen? Turn your phones off. That's a question.
Why are we here?
Dude, we're here to hang with you guys. Yeah. That's why we're here.
And it's nice to see you.
Yeah. Well, we want to talk about Rock to Recovery.
Yes,
which is this Saturday. And ourselves endlessly. How much time do we have?
Okay.
Yeah, how much time?
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
As they say.
How's my hair?
Your hair is good underneath the little hat that you put on there.
Thanks for wearing the KX hat, though. That's very
The real question is, how's the mustache, dude?
Yeah.
You know, I noticed that. You have the mustache and you have the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, it's to get ready for the event on Saturday. I got to look the rock part, you know? Yeah.
You look like you just got off a 3-week flight.
Wow. Brutal. I thought I looked pretty good this morning, man.
I do like it, Jason. Okay,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Well. Oh, it's a look. So
we're slinging a lot of mud for eight.
Just a bit of fun to get us
That's
going.
All right, let's
but
do
you're
it.
What you're involved in is very serious.
Yeah,
you've got a gig coming up, Rock to Recovery. It's your second annual.
That's right. Correct.
So tell us about Rock to Recovery and how you guys got involved in this thing.
Well, yeah, I went to rehab.
This is your project, isn't it?
I founded this organization on 12/12/12, and it was. I went to rehab myself because I almost died from doing way too much drugs and what I thought was partying. And in the rehab, there was no music. And that was the one thing that helped me get through those early days. What a lot of people don't know is, like, when you quit doing drugs, you're mangled or drinking, right? You got emotions, shame, guilt. You're having all this anxiety. And then if you're in rehab, you're with a bunch of people that you don't know. Makes you very insecure. Just you're taking a lot of emotional weight. So, you know, there's one answer, give people a lot of mood stabilizing drugs, right? And then there's another answer, which is holistic approaches.
Kinds of therapies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so my guitar was like, wow, it took on a new meaning. I could just strum a chord and it was like, all right, the world's quiet again and it's cool. Inside of me got quiet again. So the idea of Rock to Recovery is to get non-musicians to access the healing therapeutic elements of playing music. Because it's magical. What happens is when you play music, it lights up both sides of the brain. It's very unique in that. It's emotional as well as mechanical. And it actually transforms people and does to them organically with their own body, brain, physical chemistry, what psych meds do, right? It helps with endorphins, serotonin,
we call those natural highs.
Yeah.
That's natural highs.
It's literally natural. And that's, to be totally transparent with you guys, and I walked into, me and Wes had seen each other a couple times around town and stuff, and I'd actually walked into a group that he was doing, and I was so intrigued with what they were doing, seeing a group of females engage, being able to tell their life story through a song, being able to almost be able to divulge what they were doing. And that's where I was like, okay, this is interesting. Because my biggest thing is about natural highs and getting out there and stuff. And that's, so seeing that and seeing these emotions through these girls' face, I go, dude, I gotta see more in what you guys are doing.
So Justin, you were in rehab.
Yeah,
Wes came in with one of his programs.
I was actually doing a tour of a facility. I've been to many treatment centers. I went to 9 different facilities from Florida to Hawaii and every state in between until 2010.
An expert.
So I was doing my rounds.
A lot of research,
you know. But this was actually a few years ago, and I was actually doing a tour of a facility, and they walked me into this group, and I was just blown away. And then when he brought up that he was going to do Rock to Recovery 1, I go, I want to get involved with you and help you because I think this is something that we can really, you know, leverage and make a difference. Obviously, this is his baby. This is his thing. But getting a lot of people in the industry, the entertainment industry involved and stuff, they love the benefit, you know, and they love what they're bringing to the table.
So what's fascinating for me about your story, Wes, is that music therapy has been used a lot over the years various. I remember being involved in a group called Nordoff Robbins in Britain that looked after people who were alienated and isolated from society, and therefore their behaviors were all messed up and blah, blah. But it's quite a new thing in recovery, and you discovered it for yourself.
For myself, yeah. And there's drum circles, there's all these versions of music therapy, which are cool. But what we do is we come in and we get them talking, and we can connect with them like, hey, I've been where you're at. You know, I almost killed myself. So you get that connection. That's huge for recovery, as opposed to like, I'm a doctor, don't do that. When you can really connect on that level of been there, done that, And then we have something we talk about. We'll get them talking about, you know, stuff an addict or alcoholic struggles with, or a wounded vet, the dark places we go. And we have a topic, and we write the song together, and we kind of show them how to play simple things. So by the end of an hour, we can take 10, 12, 15, 20 people. We'll be all playing a song together, even if they've never played in their life. And some of the stuff is pretty amazing.
So when I say, when he says that, says it's important to know, I'm talking about literally piano. They have somebody that's singing. They have the chimes. I mean, I don't even know all the instruments they have, but they literally create a band on site in an hour, and they process this. And over the course of time, correct me if I'm wrong, but over the course of time, they create a song. So when they actually leave, they get to leave with a full production song.
Yeah, we do in one session. Have
but this is, I'm sure there's more to this. Like, you come in expecting to write a song, hang out with a rock star, and then something transformative occurs for you in the process. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, well, you know, the issue, because we work with wounded vets, we work with addicts, we work with mental health, we work with at-risk youth. A lot of the stuff is, it happens in the mind. The problem is the mind. It's you know, feeling hopeless, feeling disconnected, feeling unloved, feeling shame, feeling guilt. If you're a wounded vet, you get, you lose your job and your career and your tribe, and you feel hopeless, right? And what happens when you play music is that that power is all-encompassing. There is no other thought. It brings you into that moment. You can't worry about the future. You can't think about the past, the friends you've lost, the mistakes you've made. It brings you into that moment entirely. And then when you stay there for an hour or so playing and playing and playing, it does something to your energy. And I think your listeners out there know, when you listen to music, what does it do? It transforms you, right? It can make you happy. It can make you sad. It can make you horny. Whatever, you know? A little Barry White in there. But, you know, so it really, when you get not just listening it, but playing to it, playing music together, and you're doing it as a group. You're not sitting at home playing guitar.
Yeah, alone. I was thinking about that, because it's not just meditative, as you say. There's something, there's a collaborative nature of your program, which, you know, when you're an addict or an alcoholic, you spend a lot of time, if not on your own, thinking about yourself. Mm-hmm. And now you got to do something together.
Well, a lot of, and that is a big piece, is the connectivity and the foundation and the fellowship that they create through that process. But I think also the biggest thing is drugs and alcohol weren't our problem. Those were our solutions. Our problems are our head. And that's, I mean, Wesley touched right on that, you know, and I think that's a big piece of it, is being able to get and dive into that through songs. It makes a huge transition.
So, Wes, where do you do this, and how do you find people who want to participate? What's the structure like?
So I started by taking it into, we're in what they call the Rehab Riviera here in Orange County. We have it in LA, right? There's so many rehabs.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So luckily I was placed. Well, here's the funny thing. I was playing with Korn, and I was thinking, I'm not going to live forever. And I would like to have a legacy other than, hey, he was a guitar player. So it was like, how can I help the world with who I am, a sober dude, ex-drug addict, and a musician? So I had the idea to bring music into treatment. And so I started approaching treatment programs. And Balboa Horizons, a friend of mine, Paul Moe, and the founder over there, we used to be not sober together, gave me the first chance. It was very successful there. And now we're part of 80 different treatment programs throughout Southern California. It started as a nonprofit, but what I have is two entities. We take money from for-profit entities, and then I divert cash. That's how I had been funding the nonprofit. And what I can do is give my rock star friends who I've hired to do this job, there's now 12 of us, extra work. And they go around to nonprofits that could never afford us.
Yeah.
Like Claire Foundation, Indigent Rehabs, you know, a lot of these nonprofits can never afford a program like this.
The wounded vets too, dude. I mean,
and we go around the country working with wounded veterans. We have a contract with the Department of Defense, and we fly around to different Air Force bases. And what you learn is, when, like you touched on, Mr. Fetty, is that I can't say Jason. They won't know who. Yeah. is that when you're in that dark place, whether you're a wounded vet, a drug addict, mental health, it's the same feeling. It's alone, depressed, dark, hurt, disconnected.
Yeah.
So
who are your rock star buddies that are also involved?
Yeah, so we have Sonny Mayo, who was in Seven Dust, played in Snot and Amen. We have Nate Lawler, who's a local icon. He was the singer of Death on Wednesday, and they toured with Social Distortion and stuff. I mean, we have a dozen guys in there that have been in bands that have toured with, you know, Blink 182 and all these kind of bands you've heard of.
Is that Sonny Mayer from Ugly Kid Joe as well?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Ugly Kid Joe, yeah. So there's a whole slew of us. I won't bore you naming them all.
Tell them about the award recipients, though, and what you guys do for at the show.
So I got to give an ode to my man. I was like, I'm going to have an event. And then the funny thing was, I was like living in Huntington for a long time, and I grew up in these beaches of Laguna, but I wanted to move back down here. I wasn't sure about that. Got back down here and instantly ran into Jason, and we just hit it right off right about when I was going to have the first event. It was the stupidest thing I ever did to rent out the Fonda with myself and Billy Morrison and take on that financial thing and go, okay, let's try to have a show with nobody. Luckily, I run into Jason, and he's like, dude, I love what you're doing. I'd love to help you out. What he didn't tell you about the story when he saw our session in progress, and we had all these girls singing about trying not to shoot heroin in their necks. The true story. He was getting teary-eyed watching it. You know,
I was in tears, dude. It was heavy.
We were like, we didn't even notice he was in the room until we started hearing.
Give me a clean.
You know, I've always said this. This is the weirdest thing about recovered people, is that they laugh at the most miserable and terrible elements of their lives, and then when something really great happens, they burst into tears.
Yeah, right. We're sick and twisted, brother.
So Jason brought in Mike Ness. He was our first award recipient. The idea was to honor people who could show, like, hey, you can be cool, sober, right?
Right.
And live an amazing life. And Mike Ness got up on stage, and to date, he hadn't been a very public guy. And he told a bunch of, you know, people in recovery, there wouldn't have been a social distortion if I didn't get clean. Yeah. Back at a time when it wasn't so popular. And you could kind of feel the room go, oh, shoot. So you're a cool, you know, rock and roll icon, and you're doing it sober, and you got your edge and all your, you know what I mean?
How hard is it to be in that lifestyle? I mean, you've done it, and be sober and not fall victim to drugs and alcohol.
Well, I found a solution. There are solutions out there. It's just how much you want it, you know what I mean, and how hard you work for it. So it got really easy. I was told that if I do these certain things, there will come a point where I can go anywhere a free man goes, as long as my, you know, house is in order, if you will. You know what I mean? You don't want to live vicariously and hang out with your drunk friends all day and just try not to drink. But I would seek recovery around the world on tour with Korn. I would seek people in recovery in Germany, in India, in Singapore.
Yeah,
I had this network of people who would support me, and it became quite easy, you know?
Yeah.
But I also want to chime back in with the event that you did. I mean, dude, you had... you had Mark McGrath, you had Fred Durst, you had Christian
Hosoi,
you also had
Tony Alva.
Chester
Bennington.
I mean, it was
sadly succumbed.
But, unbelievable event, man.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the event coming up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, because I think that it's going through, you know, I'm in recovery too, and I've been for a lot of years. And it occurs to me that if you're out there suffering right now, from alcoholism, if you get involved with this project, you're gonna meet some rock stars and write some songs. Woohoo! If you're the family of an alcoholic or a drug addict that's out there, this could be transformative for your family member or friend. So there's two things going on here. One is you can reel people in. Alcoholics, we're so self-centered and so pathetic and childish, and we love to meet rock stars. That would be the thing that would draw people into this. That's why, you know, your average guy in the street can't just do this.
So you brought up a huge point, dude, is I have more people that are not in the program wanting to go to this event with me this year. Because there's no booze, there's no alcohol, there's nothing. My brother, his friends that all came last year, they all hit me up, when are we going to the event? And it's cool to see people that can drink normally or responsibly. Not even, I mean, they're looking at it like, dude, do I even need to utilize substances? I mean, so you're getting both dynamics, which is amazing.
So I did say let's talk about the event, and then I changed the subject. But let's talk about the event. What's going to happen there at the Fonda Theater? Obviously, it was a success last year to some degree. You didn't have to sell
your
house.
It totally was a big success. You know, I got to tell you, a lot of this was like I had no idea what I was doing and just kind of moving forward. At first, we were like, do we have booze or not? And then, you know, the L.A. hobnobs are like, you got to have booze. That's how you get the big donations. But we decided to have it booze-free, and that was a lucky choice because we started bringing in a lot of people from the recovery world, and we found that a lot of these treatment programs will bring their clients. And then so what you're showing is, like we just talked about, they see the light. And once you show them, look how much fun you're having and how amazing this life is sober, now you can never take that away from them. They know that that happiness and that joy is there. And that's what we tell them in our sessions too, the Rock to Recovery sessions. At the end, you may come in feeling horrible and you want to die. By the end, how do you feel? I feel great. Right. So now you know you can be totally sober and there's this healthy, beautiful, uplifting life out there for you if you seek that stuff.
Something I'm filming is the people when they go in and when they leave, the same the amount of energy they have coming out is so much more natural high than people stumbling out of clubs and stuff. I mean, you get this whole group of this energy, dude, just crushing out the door. Like, you're just like, what? This was a concert? I mean, I was blown away. I mean, you just don't see it.
Instead of everybody going in pumped and coming out on their face.
Yeah, exactly.
What are the details of this one? Who's playing? When is it?
Right.
Tickets, all that stuff.
So we're hoping to release some more tickets. It's sold out right now. So stay in tune with us. You can check us out, Rock to Recovery online. It's Rock T.O. Recovery. But who's playing this year? The Rock to Recovery band's going to play. We're going to open up the show. It's like a dozen rock stars. And then headlining is Kings of Chaos, which we're honoring this year, Corey Taylor from Slipknot and Stone Sour. We're also honoring Wayne Kramer from MC5, which they're like the precursors of punk rock on the East Coast, right? And he has been an advocate for recovery and the democratic process for a long time. We're honoring them with our award. And then they'll jam with Kings of Chaos, which is Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses, Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots, Frankie Perez, who's Apocalyptica. He did Scars on Broadway with Darren from System of a Down. Huh. Incredible singer, Frankie is. Great human. And who am I forgetting? Steve Stevens from Billy Idol. And they'll be, just last year, our surprise guests were Chester Bennington and Fred Durst. We'll have surprise guests. Can't tell you yet.
Yeah.
Or else it wouldn't be a surprise.
That's awesome. Know, so rocktorecovery.com.
Rocktorecovery.com. And we're all over the interwebs. Instagram, Facebooky.
Twitter.
Well, we'd love to have you back in the station after the show and just, you know, keep in touch with us because it's exactly the kind of community stuff that we like to get involved with here at KX93.5. So we're really delighted that you came in this morning.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are a hoot. All right, well, TV's Jason Waller, your new moniker.
Congratulations on that. Jason Waller.
Oh, I'll let him do that.
Yeah. Close me, bro.
TV's Jason Waller was here.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what he's for. And also Wesley Gear of Korn. So thanks so much, you guys. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Rock and roll.
Good luck, you guys. Yeah.